This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Steve Ashburner's back on the bench from NBA.com. How you been, Steve?
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
My man. So there's a lot to talk about with the deadline and everything that went down. First things first, what's your reaction to Kevin Durant's little tirade with the media last night, late night in San Francisco?
Let me start this by saying that with thinner skin, even then, high-profile professional athletes are generally people in the media. You know, we like to dish it out, and a lot of us can't take it. So I don't like to obsess when the criticism comes back in our direction. But Kevin Durant's kind of cranky these days. And the idea that a guy who can sign a series of short-term contracts that keep free agency, at the forefront of discussions regarding him, and then he gets mad when people speculate on where, or even just ask about where he might end up next season, you know, it's kind of on him, particularly in a week when the Knicks make a move that looks like it's totally designed to open up, you know, cap space and to be a player in the big free agency market this summer. It's naturally going to get these kind of questions. And so Durant just doesn't seem very happy. I think that he has internalized the criticism of his move to Golden State and probably feels like what he's accomplished there has been discounted by a lot of the public and the media. And he's probably right. Because of, they were proven winner before he got there. So his accomplishment is not what he might have thought it would be. So, it's misplaced. He really needs to maybe get a little coaching in how to deal with people that, by and large, are pretty easy to deal with if you just sort of engage properly. If you fight it, it's going to be difficult because – you know, the old saying was you don't feud with people who buy ink by the drum. I don't know what the zeros and ones, a digital version of that is, but essentially that's still the case. The media always has last word.
I mean, don't you think it's pathetic, though, that that this guy is telling media people to grow up when, honestly, it's hilarious to me because, first of all, this guy, here's some advice for him, and I'm going to give it to him really quick here. Don't move to New York. Don't play for the Knicks because you will end up in a rubber room at Bellevue if you think that you're going to be able to do this little act like you pulled last night at Oracle with the media in New York. They will crucify this guy on a nightly basis in New York if he doesn't do interviews or if he takes 9 days off between talking to reporters. It's not going to happen here. That guy cannot make it in New York. I'm the first one right now. There's no way that guy can make it here because he can't stand the media, and they will chew and spit him out in this town.
I'm not going to argue with you on that. In Oklahoma City, he had about as cushy a media situation as he could have. He had a team that was more determined to protect its stars, Westbrook and Durant, from media people, and obviously the locals. Very limited media in terms of numbers, and they were happy to have those guys. Not harsh at all. He still found ways to feud with the folks down there. So it's a part of his job that he doesn't like. And you know what? The fact is, I mean, there are a lot of basketball leagues he could go play in. He'd just have to accept he can't make $30 million a year doing it if it's not the NBA. And part of the NBA, where does the money come from? It comes from the extreme interest that fans have around the world in these guys. You just want to go to the gym and you want to go home, that's fine, but you can't take the paycheck with you then.
Yeah, I think he's an idiot. I think he's a great player. I think he's awesome. I think he's got mad game, mad skills, a mad shot. I think he's incredible. But I think he's his intentions are misplaced. I think he's his attitude towards the media is ridiculous. I think it's hilarious watching this guy melt down. I there's something wrong with him. And let me tell you something else. I think they're soft in that market too with him. Here in this town, like, trust me, they're not even. They used to be way worse here, if you ask me. In New York, I've been here a long time, and they used to be meaner. Let's say 10 years ago, I think they're even softer now. They'll still chew and spit him out in this town. Now let's talk about the trade deadline. What did you think of the Gasol deal in Toronto?
Well, I like that deal for the Raptors. I mean, they gave up some pieces, but they had to basically accept that either you escalate with the other teams in this arms race in the East, or you risk falling behind, you know, irrevocably. I don't know that this was not a defensive maneuver on their part when they saw with Philadelphia did with getting Tobias Harris, and then Milwaukee gets a very surgical addition with Nikola Mirotic today. And all of a sudden, here's Toronto, you know, rolling up its sleeves and getting the Marcus Gasol trade done. That is an improvement. They had an extremely good performance when Jonas Valanciunas was on the court, the traditional big man. And Marcus Gasol is sort of that plus. He's a stretch five, and he's got the size to both defend the position and to play low. He's a great passer. If the numbers hold up, they should be even better with Gasol in there for the minutes in the middle that Valanciunas had, and obviously more of them because he plays about twice the amount of time. So great move by the Raptors.
And you like that Mirotic deal for the Bucks? Makes them have an outside bomb artist.
I think it's great. Anytime you can add another three-point shooter to Giannis Antetokounmpo and open up more space for him, or he sucks in defenders with his penetration from yet another shooter. Mirotic is a great streaky shooter, and you know, I'm based in Chicago, so I've seen him since he came into the league, and he scores in bunches, and when he gets on a roll, I mean, he can dominate a game. He has had some dramatic March performances, both when he ended up in New Orleans and before that, even in Chicago, when they had, you know, some aspirations of still being a contending team. And if he can have that kind of march for Milwaukee, I mean, they'll really solidify their position near the top of the East.
So Steve Ashburner with us, NBA.com. So the Lakers and Clippers did a little deal that Muscala and then Beasley and Zubac went over to the Clippers. After all of that with AD and just the like literally 10 days, it was about 10 days of just chaos with this Anthony Davis talk. And all of those young kids on that team, you can't tell me it didn't rattle them a little bit in their heads. Like, can you believe they're treating us like dog meat is essentially what I think they were thinking. What do you think at the end of the day, that's what they did, this deal? Like, it's pathetic.
Well, yeah, you know, very anticlimactic to have to settle for that after the big buildup. I do think the performance the Lakers gave tonight in Boston was remarkable.
It was great.
You know, all things considered.
Great.
And, you know, they were great. The Celtics were great. It made me think, how about Anthony Davis just stays in New Orleans? Maybe he can go to the Knicks, you know, but leave the Celtics and the Lakers to just sort of work it out with these youth groups that they have. And, I mean, if LeBron can't look at these guys now and think, gee, maybe I shouldn't want to get rid of Kyle Kuzma, and maybe I should want to, you know, keep some of these other young guys around. I mean, it's just, to grow that team organically wouldn't have been such a bad idea, and this might end up, I don't know, I'm hopeful here more than I am predicting anything, but I do think that, you know, this could be the best move the Lakers didn't make. If somehow this group goes on to make a playoff run now, and, you know, they're not going to go deep, I don't think, but they may go beyond what any of us expected, so you know, maybe they fall in love with these guys a little bit more now.
I think that tonight, that Rondo shot in his old, you know, place of business is going to be the turning point for the Lakers getting back into this and catching up with those three games. Let me ask you this. What happens in the end now with Davis? He's going to play the rest of the year for the Pels. They also got Markieff Morris in a deal with the Wizards. But he's going to play now. What happens in the summer now? What do you think will you know, play out? Because, you know, the Boston, he doesn't want to play there, all the rest. You've heard that. And the Lakers couldn't pull it off. They offered their entire team. What do you think happens to Davis now?
Well, I do like the fact that he's going to play. I thought that the talk about shelving him for the rest of the season, that would have been just horrible. I mean, bad for him, bad for the Pelicans, bad for the league. You got a healthy player, healthy players play. If you're that worried about a guy being hurt, I mean, that's even a statement about NBA basketball that I don't think the league wants to make. So I'm glad to see that. His teammates deserve that. Drew Holiday, you know, other guys on that team, you know, Solomon Hill, and just, you know, just some of the rank-and-file guys were there largely because of Anthony Davis. So this is good for them. I don't think they're going to really go anywhere. Marquise Morris is a nice, tough addition, and I like him. But as far as the summer, I can't imagine the Lakers backing off their deal in any way. I got to think that if they still like him, they're going to bring every bit as much as they can. You know, they traded a piece, I know, but they'll be able to, you know, figure out a way to replace that. I think the Knicks and where they fall in the draft lottery, you know, that could play a role in this thing. And then obviously Boston, if they do have the capability then to bring in Davis as a supermax player and a 5-year deal guy, you know, then that's fine. They can actually get into this thing. That's what this whole thing was about, is waiting for the Celtics. They could not bring him aboard. They couldn't compete for him now with Kyrie Irving on the contract that he has. So Irving will opt out. He'll get a new deal. If he goes somewhere else, though, if he goes to New York, then Boston's going to have to scramble. I mean, that will not be an appealing place for Anthony Davis. I don't take too seriously the shot across the Celtics bow that Davis's dad issued the other day.
Right.
But, you know, Danny Ainge is a pretty bold guy, and if he thinks he can have a guy for a whole season and win him over, you know, I would think he'd still be tempted to do something.
Maybe they're waiting to see if the Knicks get that number one, and then they would deal him to the Knicks for if they got the number one, they would do it for Zion. Do you think that the Knicks would still do that deal, go for Davis over Zion?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, New York has never been a build through the draft kind of a guy. I mean, you know, kind of a team. You know, you're looking at what, going back to Patrick Ewing, maybe I'm missing somebody else, but for the most part, they like bringing in stars. That's the way they have to go. I think it's that sort of a market. Whereas Zion Williamson as a new franchise guy on a rookie contract in New Orleans, you know, that might be a, you know, pretty intriguing centerpiece of any package. So yeah, I would think if the Knicks end up with the number one pick and they want to get into the Davis sweepstakes, I think they surely could.
So what's your thoughts, Steve Ashburner, NBA.com, on the Fultz move to Orlando? Will Markelle Fultz ever amount to anything in the NBA? Because his time in Philly was atrocious.
Yeah, well, it was bad. I mean, you know, it's just the baggage associated with the move to get him. I mean, you know, he wasn't – nobody in that draft was seen as a player that you trade – position and you throw an asset in like a first round draft pick to improve your slot by two spaces. And that's what the Sixers did. And that put undue pressure on this kid. I'm happy for him. I mean, he can go, you know, you'd almost have to go to the G League to sort of be more out of sight, out of mind than the Orlando Magic. And he gets to go there, have a fresh start, hit the reset button. If he's going to become anything, it will happen there with Steve Clifford as a coach, who's strong on developing players. He needed to get out of Philadelphia. He doesn't fit there. And having him around Jimmy Butler is always dangerous when you see what Butler did with young guys in Minnesota and sort of wore them out. And so it's a good move for Fultz. It's a good move for the Sixers. They get back with Jonathan Simmons is a serviceable player who could help them, particularly as a defender in you know, playoff situations. And they get a first-round pick back that, you know, sort of makes up a little bit for what they kicked to Boston to swap those spots. So it's not exactly equal to giving up Jason Tatum, which is what happened in that draft, you know, but this about as nice a save as they probably could hope to get right now.
Overtime question. Now that they didn't trade anybody, the Lakers, let's go back to them for a second. Do you think they'll be able to shut LaVar Ball's mouth up again? Because he was quiet for a while after, you know, his son got the gig and everything. They shut him up. Now he's been yapping again and saying all kinds of insane things, like his son's better than LeBron and everything else, and he told him where he wanted his son to be traded. He's so painful. Do you think they'll be able to shut him up again?
Yeah, you know what? By him yapping like that, he may scare off all the other general managers and say, we don't want to deal with this guy, and he'll achieve his end of keeping Lonzo in L.A. And not the fact that he's telling them that they need to not trade for his kid, but just that they don't want to have to deal with LeVar. I think Magic is about the only guy that could really shut him up, and I think he did a fine job for a long time, and they probably need a refresher talk.
Steve, you're the man. Always good having you on the bench, brother. Great stuff.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, Steve Ashburner of NBA.com, 855-212-4CBS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.